Good morning. We'll try to get the session started. My name is Bruce Baker, and I'm the chair of this session. And this session is called Mormon Scouting and Homosexuality, Boy Scouts of America versus Dale. And the presenter is Brad Hess. By way of introduction, I'll tell you a little bit about Brad. Brad was raised in the snack food capital of Utah, which is also known as Kaysville. He has a bachelor's degree in political science from Utah State University. Oh, another Utah State person's here. He also has a master's in international management from Thunderbird. Currently works with the Department of Commerce, and there he helps trade associations do international business development. He has also been a radio host. He was the host of a radio program called Man of the House, a radio program about marriage and families, which was distributed over the public radio satellite system during 1998 and 1999. He is married, has three boys, and lives in Hyattsville, Maryland. And he has also mentioned to me that he'd like you to know that if at any time you have questions, you may volunteer and just bring them up even during his presentation. So I'd like to now turn the time over to Brad Hess.
Thank you, Bruce. If I almost fell into that old trap, if anyone can't hear me, raise your hand. But I think everyone can hear me. I'm reminded before I start on my comments of something that, suitably enough, one of my scout masters told me. It was an experience he had in Lake Powell, southern Utah, sheer red rock cliffs, deep blue water. He was trying to teach us how important it was to wear a life preserver. He was getting out of a boat, a raft or something, and he was just a couple of yards from what he thought was the shore. His life preserver was around him but not fastened. He jumped in the water and didn't hit bottom. Well, he hit bottom, but it was not until he had sunk quite a bit and his life preserver was just floating on the top. As I got into this subject, the more I got into it, I started out with the confidence that my scoutmaster had getting out of that raft. I can do this. And now I feel like my scoutmaster. I am in over my head. So I would solicit, please, your comments on this subject. I think the only way that this can work is by having a discussion. This is a particular issue. Anything that has to do with homosexuality within the Mormon tradition is a big off-limits taboo subject. And I think this is the only chance that I certainly will have this year to talk about it with folks other than those who we're able to invite for dinner. That'd be great. That'd be great. And I hate to be up here behind the podium with such a relatively intimate group. It's the only chance that I have to feel like a professor, and I just feel so bad that I left my tweed jacket at home. I've got a little intro to read to you. It's very short, and what I've got for you is a handout which is really just a starting point for you to pick out some comments that you found that are worth talking about. I thought I was going to find kernels of truth. I had this stack of court briefs. First I got the Supreme Court decision, and then I got the briefs filed by the petitioner and the respondent. And then I said, well, there's got to be more here. I'm going to go for the amicus briefs. And there's this whole long list of different denominations and different organizations that filed on both sides. And the more I got into it, the more I found that what's here is really pretty legalistic. So help me to find the gems within the legalistic language that I've been able to mine out here. Believe it or not, what's on the page is not dross, it's the gems. With that less than inspiring introduction, let me start into my affirmative presentation and solicit your thoughts and prayers on behalf of this subject, because I really want to get into this. I clearly remember hearing NPR legal correspondent Nina Totenberg explain the Supreme Court's decision, Boy Scouts of America versus James Dale. It was about a little less than a year. The effect of this very divided decision, 5-4, was to strike down a New Jersey law that prohibited discrimination against homosexuals in places of public accommodation, which New Jersey defined to include Boy Scout troops. This was the kind of divisive decision that I think has already divided our nation in two, at least on this particular issue. And I could say it's divided our Mormon community in two, but I don't think the halves would be, or the two pieces would certainly not be two halves. Let me put it that way. And here are the two halves, of course, those who believe that homosexuals deserve the same privileges and opportunities as everyone else, and those who feel that homosexuals are not appropriate role models. You could phrase that many different ways, but for this particular issue, that's really what it boils down to. Now, I felt, when I heard Nina Totenberg on the radio, I fell neatly into the first group. Of course, homosexuals are people like everyone else and deserve the same opportunities and privileges. And I thought immediately of the impressive homosexuals who have been in our life. Gay partners who have had us over for a wonderful Halloween party. Gay professionals who have succeeded on a weekly basis, sometimes I'm not sure how, to coax dance and music out of our sons. And couples my sons have seen raising normal, delightful children in the neighborhood and in our Prince George's Home Learning Network. Is anyone else here from Prince George's County? I didn't think so. Would I want to deny my sons access to these wonderful people? No. The court's decision, in my opinion, at the time was a no-brainer. It was simply wrong to discriminate. However, within days of registering that initial opinion, something changed, at least my perspective, radically. My bishop asked me to be a scoutmaster. I still held to my original opinion, but I found myself equivocating. I was still on the non-discrimination side of the fence, but I was so close to straddling it that I was beginning to feel uncomfortable, and I couldn't understand why. And if you can tell me why at the end, I'd be happy, because I'm in the middle of this issue, okay? It's not a clear-cut issue for me the more I look into it. After having served as scoutmaster for a few months, I remember telling a friend from our ward that I doubted that the Supreme Court's decision was the right one. He was a church friend, so I wanted to phrase it safely. I assumed that the church must have opposed the New Jersey law and supported the Boy Scouts of America. I didn't even know at the time whether the church had filed a brief on behalf or with the Boy Scouts. I just assumed that they had. The church does, after all, sponsor more Boy Scout units than any other sponsoring organization, and the church does not condone homosexual behavior, unlike many other denominations. This, by the way, is kind of a misleading statistic. There are not more Mormon scouts than any other denomination. I always thought, okay, we're the biggest. We simply sponsor more units. And now that I'm a scoutmaster and I only have 5 scouts in our troop, now I know why we sponsor more units than anyone else. We are actually to play second fiddle to the Methodists. My friend said he was sure that the church opposed the New Jersey law, and he felt pretty sure that he knew why. Surrounding a homosexual man with impressionable boys is a recipe for sexual abuse. When he said that, I think I went on the other side of the fence. As both a parent of a scout and as a scoutmaster, I could suddenly see 20/20 the wisdom of the court's decision, or so I thought. How could I have been so stupid as not to think of that myself? My friend's explanation satisfied me for a few days, but only because I did not try to find out for myself if my church or the Boy Scouts actually expressed this concern in their briefs. When I finally got to the court's decision, the Boy Scouts' brief, the church's amicus brief, which was co-filed with the Catholics and sort of with the Methodists, at least with I forget the name of the committee, but the Men's Activities Committee of the Methodist Church filed in support of the Boy Scouts of America, whereas, and I forget the name of the other committee of the church, which deals with public affairs, filed on behalf of James Dale. Very interesting situation. Yeah, if you want to comment on that, yeah, it's an interesting situation, and it's not something I really got into, and I'm glad you're here. Any other Methodists weigh in too, please? Anyway, I was fascinated to find out, and actually I think relieved, that sexual abuse was not an issue at all in this case. And I think that there are a lot of people out there who think this is the reason why this is an issue. It was not. So, suddenly I was on the other side of the fence again. In the process of learning more about Boy Scouts of America versus Dale, my position has continued to shift depending on which brief I just read. I think it's starting to settle, but I can't settle this issue within this court case or this issue, Boy Scouts and homosexuality, alone. It has to be settled within a very broader issue. And if you want to help today by adding your comments and questions to that, that would be great. Let me just quickly give you the rundown of what happened with the court case. Maybe you're already familiar with it, so I'll make this really fast. New Jersey passed a law that prohibited discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation in places of public accommodation. James Dale was asked by the Boy Scouts. He was told, you can no longer be a Boy Scout adult leader because you came out in a newspaper being interviewed saying, basically, teenage boys need good gay men role models. Boy Scouts said, you can't say that, and they pointed to a policy that they had written in the early 90s, and James Dale, however, had been a scout since 1978, and eventually in the court case, if you want to really look at that chart, actually it's a chart, so don't look for it. 1978 is when the first documentary evidence of their Boy Scout policy on homosexuality exists. And that 1978 basis for the decision, I think, is probably, it's one of the pillars that the majority opinion stands on, and I wouldn't call it a pillar. It's more like a toothpick, because it was really more like an inter-office memo from one scout executive to another, and there's no evidence that this policy was ever disseminated to anyone down the line. James Dale, nor his scoutmasters, or anyone else in the pipeline, have really had no way of knowing that this was a policy. Now I'm starting to stray into the whole legalistic thing, which is, did he know before or did he not? And from the legal point of view, that's important, because if the issue is, and this is the issue that the court actually bought, if the issue is that the Boy Scouts of America is a private organization with the right to express an opinion as a private organization, then the First Amendment says that they have the right to do that. And if, when you join the Boy Scouts or become a leader, it says, if you are homosexual, you're not welcome, then you know that going into it. And even Justice Stevens, who wrote his own separate dissenting opinion, basically acknowledged, I mean, if that's the case, you just have to accept it. I mean, the Ku Klux Klan cannot except black people, if that's what they want to do. Great analogy. What a great camp for the Boy Scouts to be in. But so that was really the legalistic basis, if you will, of the decision. There's nothing inspiring in it really at all. There's some interesting quotes, and if you want to pick up on any of them and use them as a basis for a comment, feel free to do so. But all that the court case really decided was that the Boy Scouts can say whatever they want. And if someone says to the Boy Scouts, well, now hold it. You know, it's not really clear that's really what your policy is. Well, what the majority court said, the majority opinion says is, it doesn't matter. It's the Boy Scouts who are in the position to tell us what their real position is. They can have contradictory opinions. They can have organizations that sponsor troops that obviously support full gay rights. And then they can have congregations that don't and denominations that don't. Is that inconsistent? Absolutely. But the majority opinion says they don't have to be consistent. So that's really the basis of the decision. And I was hoping that there'd be more there to sink your teeth into, but that wasn't the case. Back to the history. This was upheld. The first court to hear this the first court to hear this in New Jersey struck down the New Jersey law and says, well, it's not constitutional because it violates free speech. It was appealed, and within New Jersey, it was upheld. The law was upheld, and then the Supreme Court of New Jersey upheld it again, and that's what Boy Scouts of America appealed. This is the New Jersey Supreme Court decision. So, can the Boy Scouts of America discriminate? Yes. Pretty inspiring. Okay, let's move on. I call these snippets, I was trying to call them, I don't know what else, but they're just really snippets. Little highlights from the court decision that I wanted to put out. And let me read the opinion, which is on line 1A, and don't ask me what the 1A, 1B, 1C thing is. If you figure it out, you tell me. We are not, as we must not be guided by our views of whether the Boy Scouts' teachings with respect to homosexual conduct are right or wrong. Public or judicial approval or disapproval of a tenet of an organization's expression does not justify the state's effort to compel the organization to accept members where such acceptance would derogate from the organization's expressive message. You know, this was something that was crying out for a great paragraph, and then they turned it over to attorney. But anyway, I think you get the idea anyway, which is basically that the state can't tell a private organization what to say and what not to say. The organizations, the denominations and organizations that came out in support of James Dale basically made the position that, look, it's absolutely positively clear that there's no religious unanimity on this issue. And the Boy Scouts hasn't tried to impose one. So how can they impose one now, especially when it comes without warning? And again, it doesn't matter. You can be inconsistent. Justice Stevens just has a lot of good quotes here about that. The idea that homosexuality is not appropriate appears entirely unconnected to and is mentioned nowhere in the myriad of publicly declared values and the creeds of BSA. On the next page, I think he says it even better at the top. In the line, this is the dissenting opinion column, in light of BSA's self-proclaimed ecumenism, it is even more difficult to discern any shared goals or common moral stance against homosexuality. The Rehnquist majority opinion, faced with these things, basically tried to paint the dissenting justices into trying to show that the Boy Scouts are really like the Boys and Girls Club. You're there to learn sports and learn how to get along. And what Boy Scouts did is they tried to that's really not what this is all about. This is all about values. And I've already talked about the one toothpick, not pillar, that propped this thing up, which is basically if you're a private organization, you can say and do whatever you want. The other is what they used to convince the justices to get a majority opinion is that the way that Boy Scouts of America communicates its values to Boy Scouts is not through policy statements. It's the example of the Scoutmaster. That's how it communicates its values. And I don't know, but I think that without that particular piece of logic, I don't think the outcome could have been different without that piece of logic. The other kind of background music, I'll call it background music, because it's not stated as the reason. I mean, they go to some legalistic cases. Hurley was a case that was very similar to this, and they cite that, where there was an Irish-American parade, and the gay rights folks wanted to march it, and they said, that's fine, but you can't do it with any banners that say anything about gay rights. And then they sued, and they said, well, we didn't know that this was an exclusive parade, and the defendant, Hurley, his point was, well, it doesn't have to be consistent, and we can tell you after the fact. And that was a precedent that was out there, and so that's the real reason why Boy Scouts of America got decided this way. But I think the interesting background music here is that, one, you had the fact that, the Boy Scouts of America saying the way we transfer our values is with one-on-one contact. And secondly, the other thing is that in the amicus brief, friend of the court brief, that we filed with the Catholic Church and the part of the Methodist Church that actually controls Boy Scouting, and the Missouri Synod of the Lutheran Church. What we said, so to speak, is that, one, we are the 800-pound gorilla. We just us, in this one brief, we constitute 40% of the Boy Scout community, i.e., you listen to us. And in fact, we even said, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints said specifically, if we lose this case, we're out of scouting. 12% of the scouting community is lost if that happens, and they also said that you could lose a good chunk of the rest of this 40%. And they used that logic to underscore the main argument, which is that we are a private organization and we have the right to express ourselves however we want. If we lose 40% of our organization, that impinges on our ability to inculcate values in youth. And that is our mission. So they're getting to the same way, but in a very roundabout way. Our real mission, and we can prove that, is to inculcate values in youth. And the way we do it is by putting certain role models in direct contact with the youth, and without really saying it directly. I mean, if you have a homosexual role model, then the likelihood increases that the kid will grow up and adopt a homosexual lifestyle. That's not really said, but that's the background music again. Anyway, that's how we got there. And the interesting thing is they used the whole idea of parents coming in and saying, it's not really us, these denominations, who are really driving this. Parents who are coming in and saying, look, I'm not going to have the state of New Jersey choosing the role models for my kid. When I went into scouting, I had a certain expectation of what kind of role model I was going to get. And I'm a neurotype because I think this is what someone would say. It's not the guy who does my mom's hair or my wife's hair, you know. That's not what I had in mind. You know, I had a kind of a, you know, a guy who wear a khaki shirt and looks like he wants to watch football. I mean, these are stereotypes, I know, but I'm just kind of extrapolating. This is what's going through them. Now, that's not what, of course, they said in the brief. They just said, this is not what parents wanted. And so that carried a lot of weight, especially when it comes from this big 40%. The other thing they did is they used something that James Dale said himself to support this very idea of this is how scouting transmits its values, if I can find it. This is actually from the Boy Scouts brief. As the courts recognized in Roberts and other case, the instrumental aspects of freedom of association, expressive association, and that's the operative term out here, and the intrinsic aspect, intimate association, may coincide. The Boy Scout troop is a perfect example of both aspects coming together in a single group. The state may not dictate who parents select as the wise friend to undertake the moral education of their sons and troops. In a press interview, Dale was asked whether he would want a son of his to join Boy Scouting. His response is instructive. This is what they pay lawyers for. Assuming that the discriminatory policy is not there, I would definitely like the kid to be in the Scouts. But I would want to know who the people were there influencing him, his Scoutmaster, the other Scouts. A kid can be highly impressionable, and I wouldn't want some narrow-minded person leading my son's troop. For all the hysteria around gays and Boy Scouts, I think any parent who trusts just anyone with their child is crazy. Putting aside any disagreement with Dale over what constitutes a good influence, that is subject to your own interpretation, he is exactly right. To say that public accommodations laws can apply to the selection of scoutmasters is to say that these positions must be open to all members of the general public, just like rooms in hotels or seats on airplanes. That, in Dale's own words, is crazy. It violates the First Amendment. So that's really the basis of this decision. And I find it interesting that not only was the friend of court brief filed on behalf of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the men's organization of the Methodist Church and the Catholic Church and the Missouri Synod of the Lutheran Church, those four together. There was one more there too, and I forget the name. But anyway, that brief happened to be written by, I forget the name, law firm in Salt Lake City. And I found it interesting that the Boy Scouts of America brief, Boy Scouts of America, Irving, Texas, conservative Christian South, the first name to appear is an attorney from Salt Lake City. Now, I don't know any more than that, but I just find that that's interesting that the church got involved to that level in this issue. Because it's not something that's really big, at least publicly, on the Mormon radar screen when you compare it to, say, the Baptists. I mean, we're not out there boycotting Disney. I mean, individual Mormons might be, but it's not something that the church is out there pushing. I'm going to segue into something else. If there are any questions, feel free to hit me. Yes?
If I'd like to make a comment, I can take a little question.
Oh, no, comments, questions?
You mentioned that when you talked with your friend early on, and he told that chance for abuse, mm-hmm. that convinced you to the other side of the fence. You also mentioned stereotypes. I mean, that's making stereotypes again. I'm a gay man. Mm-hmm. Children.
I understand.
That was a very part of this general image of making it the other is to put stereotypes on those people. And so to say, well, we're not going to have scoutmasters because that gives them a chance to be children.
It took me about a day.
Part of that general characterization or
It took me about a day, and I don't think it even took me a day. It was probably after he left. We had him over for dinner.
And that's part of ignorance, too. I'm going to give you an example. I used to attend Kensington Ward.
Uh-huh.
And one of the people who worked in Kensington one day said, I don't know why I picked me because I wasn't out at all. He said, I had a really scary experience last week. We were down at Cordova, and we were walking on the beach, and we started looking around, and all of a sudden we were in the middle of the gay manor on the gay beach. We were so frightened. And we just kept walking along. We really watched our daughters.
Yeah.
Number one, what were you facing?
Yeah.
Number two, if you've been watching, you should have watched your son.
That's right.
So I think it's just playing on the stereotypes.
Well, it became obvious to me after when he left. I mean, this was in the middle of this conversation, and he brought this up, and I said, "Oh, yeah." And then how things do, they just kind of move on. And then he left, and I don't know. I got a quiet moment. And I thought, "Now hold it." First of all, I thought about it from a practical point of view. I used to work. I don't know if Bruce mentions. I used to work for a law firm as a trade consultant. I'm not an attorney, and I don't even play one on TV. But I hung around so many of them that sometimes I end up looking for the logical thing instead of what is really right or true or whatever. Forgive the stereotype again. I'm just doing stereotypes all over. But after he left, I thought about it for a while and I said, well, of course they wouldn't bring this up. What's the first thing you have to do to be a Boy Scout leader? You have to go through this training that is designed to prevent sexual abuse. I mean, I am the steward for... Or no, how's that? Who are in my charge? It's all males. So why are they giving me sexual abuse if I can't be homosexual anyway? I mean, it's the circular thing. They don't want to open a can of worms because sexual abuse, I think, I don't know the statistics, but I'm going to assume that it probably, I mean, it's not a homosexual phenomenon. I mean, it's going to happen. Yeah. Yeah.
There's an incredible letter that says the number that if you want to figure out who are abusers, there are many, many more proportionally heterosexual abusers.
Yeah, I don't have the experience that you have because that never happens in my community, so I never see it in the papers. Go for it.
And that is talking about conveying moral values. I do not consider discrimination to be a moral value.
Right, and that was in
so
the...
That, to me, is a concern that you're trying to... Boy Scouts, when I was a Boy Scout,
uh-huh.
I had a great experience in the Boy Scouts, but I don't consider teaching discrimination to be teaching a good moral value, and that becomes a philosophical thing that maybe you could...
Sure, and that's something. Let me take this question first.
Well, I was very frustrated by the comment case because I see that there's two separate questions here. One falls under the ideas of the court, which is, do you have a right to discriminate or not? And beyond that, none of the business what they do, and that's based on whether the public is private.
Right.
In my opinion, the Boy Scouts are obviously a public organization. People run it on the elementary school. Once it's changed. It was a elementary school sponsored troop. Therefore, it was funded by tax dollars from people within the community. If that's not a public association, I don't know what it is.
Right.
And they're getting use of school buildings, libraries, and other things that are paid for by local government and state government, and in some cases, the federal government. So if the state of New Jersey doesn't have the right to dictate to people who are taking money from them, I don't know who would
call it. Well, and that point was made very strongly in the briefs, and it's a very good point. And I think the Boy Scouts of America has pretty much conceded that. The last page you have here is this PR thing that they put up.
They want to be private, but still suck in the public.
No, but what I mean is that they have acknowledged that they're going to have to kind of give that up. If someone says you can't come into this public school or the United Way is not going to have you, I mean, there's really nothing they can do about it. They're trying to put a spin on it in this public relations that I got off the internet. Or no, I got it out of Scouting Magazine. And you know, and that's what they're trying to reassure funders that the money is still there. And in fact, it is. It's funny. The number of people are still joining the Boy Scouts and contributing lots of money. I'm going to guess that that since this is Sunstone, that people are going to feel more comfortable expressing the kind of views that have just been expressed. And if anyone has views that are on the other side, feel free and express those, because I'm about to launch into one on the other side.
Hmm.
Incident?
Incident.
Oh, incident. Okay, I'm sorry. It sounded more juicy than that. I wondered what it was. Well, I think that that's been acknowledged by the brethren, that it's not necessarily choice.
Well, see, they have, but most people think that but that's the only thing.
Yeah, but yeah, that's. So you can't do everything, huh? Now this is the real question, I think. Why did the church come down so vigorously, really? I mean, they're not doing it publicly, but I'll tell you, I wouldn't be surprised if the church paid all the legal fees for this. Because, you know, I mean, they have two Salt Lake City attorneys for two of the briefs. Oh, yes, sorry.
Well, no, that was my other point. It's a little bit peripheral, but really it's about what you're saying. When you said earlier that you were surprised to see that Mormon lawyers were doing all of this work for the brief, because Mormons, it's not on the Mormon radar screen, and you know, we're not quite like Disney. But that's, you only believe that if you didn't live in California, or in Hawaii, or if you weren't paying attention, because the church has put it on the top of its agenda, very near the top of its agenda, but trying to do it in a very quiet fashion so that they don't attract the media attention.
Okay, and
they put millions of dollars, they put, you know, lots of funds, and they're doing it in Texas now, and they're doing it elsewhere. So,
okay. Why is that then? Does anyone have any ideas why?
I think the church is afraid of being painted in the same corner that they were in the 70s with the black issue. I think that as gays become more and more acceptable, that they're being painted into a corner of, can we continue to discriminate against homosexuals and still look like a mainstream open-minded religion? And with the gay marriage issue, they're trying to say that gays are okay, gays are fine in the church as long as you're celibate and live by the same rules. Never mind the fact that you're giving up your hope of ever having romance. But if gay marriage was ever to occur, then they would have to openly and blatantly say, to be a member of our church, we have to destroy your family so you can join and become a celibate individual. And I think this ties into the Boy Scouts, because they're using the Boy Scouts as a cat's paw to maintain gay discrimination against gays, because they don't want to have to accept them into their scout troops, whereas other troops, like the Unitarians, certainly would be willing, would be thrilled to have gay scoutmasters. And I think that they're sacrificing the integrity of the Boy Scouts in order to do that. I think they pushed the Boy Scouts into defending discrimination in front of the entire world by putting on this huge stage and pushing them up and saying, if you don't do this, we're going to pull all of our money, all of our troops, and we're going to try and drag our Christian allies with us, which will destroy your organization, or at least severely hamper it in the short term, but then in the long term, we're destroying your reputation as a, quote, Boy Scout, which is to be a noble, honorable thing, and now people are looking at the Boy Scouts and saying, we're a bunch of bigots.
Yeah, I think that it became evident with 40% in one brief, and there's others. The Southern Baptist filed a brief as well. I mean, it was just going to, it was going to change radically, if not disintegrate. Yes. It would not have. It wouldn't have affected that at all. That's the interesting thing. Why, you know, so why did we do that? And we, unlike other denominations, I mean, the standard that we hold Boy Scout leaders to is pretty rigid. I mean, it's like, it's kind of like the temple recommend standard, really. And other denominations usually don't have, I mean, they're all over the map. I mean, yeah.
But, I mean, part of it, besides just the whole issue of the scout leader, what is also kind of even homosexual kid allowed in
the scout? No, actually, what is clear in the opinions is whenever they mention homosexual, they say avowed homosexual or homosexual conduct. It's not just homosexual. It is... They are making the distinction, and the scouts themselves, the BSA, right? That's kind of seems to be the policy that's been adopted.
It's leaders as well as scouts.
Oh no, it's leaders before scouts. I mean,
but scouts too. You can't have a scout as a designated scout.
Yes, we can.
Frankly, I'm gonna defer to my better scout instructed colleague to comment.
Scout leaders only, and in fact, that's the policy letter from BSA. Scout leaders only.
So if a 14-year-old came in and said, "I'm a gay kid,"
14-year-old kid,
and he holds hands.
How far do you want to go with this? yeah.
Just a quick comment. I'm on the district committee in my and I've had several people come up to me from other denominations and say, thank you for your church and their support. And I'm like, pray on for my church's support. Because, you know, I have a problem with their position. But I'm also, the church has chosen scouts as a program for my kids. And so I'm going to do what I can for my kids. But it's kind of weird to have people from other churches come up in scouting and thank me for what my church has done. So there's a big push from other denominations to support this.
Yeah, no, I don't think that the church... decided to join in with everyone so we could collectively create because we are in this together, whether you agree with the decision or not. An 800-pound gorilla. That's not why the church did it. And I'm going to go to my initial reaction to this, which was, of course, discrimination is wrong. But I have to tell you that the more I've thought about this, that of course if you paint this situation, then the answer is obvious, that no one should be discriminated against. But I think that there is, that's not the only way you can look at this. And I don't think the Boy Scouts had a very strong case that inculcating values in children should be the choice of parents and the organization. I don't think they had a very strong case at all, because you have all kinds of sponsoring organizations doing that. Nevertheless, that is the case that they made, and that's the case that the court bought. And to address very specifically and very succinctly why our church, mostly, why the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, why it addressed this issue so vigorously, is because I think we have purposely painted ourselves in a corner that I frankly agree with. And the thing that's driving the boat here is something that I think is going to be looked upon as revelation, probably, in the not too distant future, and that's the Proclamation on the Family. If you have a Proclamation on the Family that you solemnly presented to the President of the United States and as many world leaders as you could get to pay attention to you, that says children are entitled to birth within the bonds of matrimony and to be reared by a father and a mother who honor marital vows with complete fidelity, then I think that you don't really have much choice about this issue. And that's where the church is. I want to tell you that for reasons that I don't have time to go into, every time I have read this Proclamation on the Family, I have liked it 100%. And I just feel that I agree with it. And I can talk about it till the cows come home as to why I agree with it. That wasn't the topic here. I painted myself into a corner by saying it's about the court case, and unfortunately the court didn't yield as many gems as I would have hoped. But this is the reason.
Well, why? I don't understand. I can understand why you say why LDS scouts should be able to discriminate against gay. And I would first say that I despise the Proclamation of the Family because I think it paints a 1950s picture that the church, not even the LDS church, can live up to, since only 40% of members of the church actually fall into what the ideal picture is of being a two-parent, both numbers, both active members of kids, family, leaving the other 60% of the members of the church feeling like they are somehow lacking. But that's besides the point. That doesn't address the issue. Why should the LDS church dictate to the Boy Scouts of America that every scout group, whether they're sponsored by a public school, a Unitarian church, or the Little Reformed Jews, or whatever group, why should they dictate to them their values when other religions have a value to say tolerance is a much greater, being intolerant is a much greater sin than anything sexually you can do?
Why
did the LDS church throw its weight behind it? And I have another question.
Well, hold it.
For the LDS Church to divorce itself from Boy Scouts, and wouldn't both organizations be better off in the long run?
Yeah, that's.
If the LDS Church wants to have a
sure, we
program, can, let them create that, complete youth, whatever they want, and then let the Boy Scouts go their own way, just like they've done with the Girl Scouts. They've knocked off that Girl Scout.
Yeah,
but you could
just turn that around and go the other way around, and you could say, why should the Unitarians or the Episcopalians, why should they dictate to us that we have to have?
But they're not dictating. They're saying you are allowed to choose your own scout leaders, and we choose our scout leaders.
Okay, no, you're right. I see your point. You're right. You're absolutely right on that. I can see that. But right, I mean, the church could have very easily just kept out of this and said, we don't really need to take a stand here. Maybe this is the time for us to cut our links with the Boy Scouts and do it our own way, because I have noticed that there's sometimes little encumberments. You know, your training is planned on Sunday, and our church won't let you be trained on Sunday, and it really messes up the district calendar for doing that. But
I really believe that they destroyed the integrity of the Boy Scouts of America by putting themselves in the same corner, as you've said, with the KKK.
Well, no. That's, I don't.
Taking the same route.
I don't think that they.
And I think 20 years from now, we're going to look at this decision just like we look at Plessy versus Ferguson or other things that.
I really disagree with you there because
well,
look, this.
Religious belief.
No. Talking about legal. Are we here to discuss?
Well, it's religion. So it's
okay.
The right of people to free associate. I mean, there's different issues.
No. Listen. Don't tell me that the family is not something that we've always been interested in. If the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints doesn't have the right to say what it thinks is important for everyone, then who does?
No one. I mean.
Okay. Then.
If
then.
If you say this is the opposite argument, then obviously you win because it's a Mormon.
No.
I don't know why we're having a discussion. But if you're going to say,
are we having a discussion?
The LDS Church should be throwing its weight around to dictate to other people, just like they do with the gay marriage issue, for people who don't believe.
Okay.
People, I don't believe.
Oh, good.
Can we move on to other questions?
Thank you, Bruce.
With this debate going
well,
on.
I think that's probably
other people with questions right now. So.
Later about it. Yes.
Let's move on.
I just want to give you an inside view of the spread of this county. A year ago, I was asked to be chairman of the National Exploring Health Careers Committee. And this is one of several disciplines in learning for life, individual learning for life, and the values-based adjunct education public schools, but I'm an exploring, exploring program. What I thought was fascinating is when they asked me, they were very solicited. Now, I want you to know we don't have any lit assessments for the exploring. We have no qualifications. I said, well, what do you mean about sexual orientation? And, well, yes. But it was so funny how they were quick to say, this is, it doesn't apply to exploring. And because I'm on this committee, I get to go to the National Learning for Life Committee. So I went to New York City, which is fascinating. This was last May. This was before the Supreme Court case. And this was the New York City BSA, where the Boston Media and the President. And people there were so forthcoming about they were. They said, we know that if it goes in favor of this proposition, it's the end of scouting.
Yeah, it's.
That's how they were talking to the New York City area, and they know their revenue streams. And I thought it was fascinating because when it went in favor of this proposition, I thought to myself, okay, you won the battle, but I'll get your name.
Yeah, maybe. It's. Look, this is a sticky issue. I think that there's room, and I think religious organizations have a right and a duty, I think, to comment on this issue because that's what religious institutions do. What I have seen is I forgot what I was going to say. So why don't you
weigh in? My comment was with the scouts. It's not really scouts anymore. We've watered it down so much, and you know we don't have to look what the scouting organization. Learning for Life program, I work for a federal agency that funds learning, that could fund learning for life, and they came to us and asked us for funding. And there's just so many different versions of the scouting movement is taking out. And I think as a result of this, this case, it's a survival issue now. They've got to work on other areas now outside of this scouting movement. It's just going to be continuing to be watered down. So I was wondering what your perspective is on whether the church should really continue with the scouting movement.
My personal opinion is that I would prefer not to do it. I mean, I go out of my way not to go to district things so I don't get embarrassed. And because the people who are in the other troops, I mean, these people have been doing scouting since, I don't know, for 10 or 20 years, and they can tie a bowline knot in their sleep. And I'm still working on that one myself, and I'm a scoutmaster. And that's the way it is in Mormon scouting. So maybe it would be better to find a different venue. And this is probably an opportunity to do that, and maybe it was a missed opportunity. However, I really think that religious institutions have a right and a duty to comment on this particular issue because it's difficult, and it's something that our church has to address. Because we're big on the family, we have to have an opinion. We, the brethren, have to have an opinion on this. And they've expressed that opinion. And they could have used this standing opinion, which, like it or not, is the opinion. And I went out of my way to express this opinion and to tell you that I really believe in the Proclamation on the Family because I really do. And
because I think it's a little interesting to hear something different at Sunstone. I think sometimes we do the inverse of what we do at church. At church, we put on our church face, and at Sunstone, we put on our Sunstone face. You know, we bend over backwards and trip over ourselves to show how liberal and open-minded we are, whereas at church, some of us either keep our mouths shut or don't express our opinion as often as we might want to for the inverse reason. And I wish I had more time to talk about this because I think it's very interesting. I don't think that the church is handling this whole issue of homosexuality as it should and as it could. It's something that shouldn't be divisive. But hey, there's a lot of people on different learning curves coming along here, and I don't want you to draw any conclusions about how I feel on the subject, because I am in the process as well, and this preparing this paper has really helped me focus. Are we done, Bruce? Are we out of time? Should I wrap this up?
That's probably a good concluding.
Okay, thank you.